The Motor Excursion Ruffians number 5, April 10th, 10, 27.21, 04/41.
Message. Wow. And his phone even has like this cool like spinny pattern on it.
Automated voice messaging.
All right, here we go. Leave a message.
Brian Cassidy
is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you finish recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
This is like the Bluetooth.
To leave a callback number, press 5.
Here we go. You ready? Brian, this is Frank and Pete in the car. We're on our way to your home. We'll be there in about an hour. And right now, the time is 12 o'clock. So we'll be there by about 1:30. So we'll see you then. I hope you remembered it was today. Yeah. We'll see you then.
Okay.
All right, bye. Give us a call. Bye. All right. Whoa. Great. We did it. We left him his message. All right. So you want some Snickers or what? Just
almonds. You'll have a Snickers.
You want a piece?
Yeah, I'll have a piece.
Gotta share.
This is what we call sharing.
Here you go. Here's your piece.
Thank you, buddy.
Sorry, there's like a dangling piece of like artificial caramel there. Mmm. Snicker. Mmm. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah. Mmm. Nicholas satisfies.
Wow. So for those of you that don't know, I met Peter at a birth control factory in 1986.
Yeah.
And we became quick friends. And we were making all the birth control products, but Pete had a bit of a mishap. And
what mishap?
Wound up spilling a lot of diaphragms on the ground.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This guy named Ed Roach fired him. But we kept in touch.
What? Don't forget.
And that was like 24 years ago now.
I'm not telling him that.
Yeah.
He kept telling me he got fired. I said, no, I got laid off.
Yeah. He didn't believe he was really fired.
He said to me, Peter, you're better off in the wonderful world of fast foods. You're fired.
That's right. But Pete and I, but it, that job was good. It was like just a summer job, I think, for both of us. Because during the summers, all these various factories and warehouses and stuff, all their usual workers would go on vacation. So they needed to get the young kids to come in as temps.
Exactly.
Those are some really cool jobs.
Remember that one time when that was a big toxic mess?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's a real mess. Yeah, you're going to clean it up.
Yeah, they spilled some sort of therapeutic vaginal jelly on the ground. Some other guy did. Then they made me clean it up. That's not fair. That was the same day, in fact, that you received your information that you were laid off.
Oh, yeah. I got terminated.
Yeah. So I've known Pete ever since then, and we've been good friends, and we actually... We did a radio show back in...
Tapeland 111 to 1989 into 1990 number 1, December 31st, 89 to January 21st, 90, 09/28.
I think I'll stick it right into the thing, it's so good.
Oh, I bet you're glad I stopped that. Wait a second. We don't want to attend to that, do we?
I know. 10 years ago, I was babysitting, and I said, just gotta be a better way to spend New Year's Eve.
Damn.
At least that would have been the money for
Overnightscape Central open, February 9th, 16, 3246.
Bring me in with them just because we were going to eat similar sort of stuff, although they had fish and I didn't. And then I'm like, it's all right. So, what else? I thought it was a moment in the restaurant that was quite funny, I thought anyway, but yeah, I'm not the best comedian or anything. Some of the staff are obviously bustling around, and one of the staff members, probably one of the, like, the, you know, higher ranking ones, I don't know whether, what kind of positions there are, but she was like, and then what did she say? I don't remember what she called him, but basically, what she was saying is, when you're not stepping on me, you're hitting me. I feel like you have a vendetta against me. And so it was kind of funny because there was just this sort of young guy pushing a trolley around, you know, trying to clean up and trying to help out. And yet he was making mistakes, and it was kind of like, what can you do? And the other thing that happened was, I don't know what exactly they were talking about, but at one stage, my parents and my aunt and uncle were talking, and they were basically saying that all the Y and all the, you know, Cantonese sort of people went to Canada or America. And here am I sitting here. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, so you acknowledge that this is, you know, what has happened. This is obviously some sort of problem. And yet, throughout the past few years, you could say, you know, they not necessarily directly encouraged me, but sort of, you know, overtly, I don't know English anymore. They kind of, you know, encouraged me to reconsider a Asian boyfriend, Asian partner. And yet, if it's such a big problem that most of these people are in Canada or America, what am I going to do? Like, It's my parents that moved to this country, not me. And yet, you want me to somehow deal with the situation of a shortage of, or Asian men? Like, what am I supposed to do? Anyway, so they should be more open-minded. So, yes. Oh, but I got quite a few red packets because you're only supposed to give red packets. You can start giving red packets from the first day onwards, and you can continue giving them up until a month. It's kind of like a month-long celebration if you want it to be. It's like, I don't know how much money I got today, but I guess it'll be fun counting it up later. Ooh, free money. Although, you know, you only get money if you're a kid, technically. I feel like it really kind of extends to just unmarried people, though. But, I mean, my grandparents still give money to their kids, so I guess you can never really stop being a kid completely as long as your parents are still around. Or you have in-laws who are also your parents, as in the case of my dad. I was going to say something, then I forgot.
3/9.
Foreigners call them liqueur. They say, there's a liquor shop. They say, a liquor shop. You go into the liquor shop and you say, can I liquor, please? And they'll say, stop being vulgar. You know damn well it's liqueur. It's liqueur, not liquor. Not liquor. No, absolutely fucking. Everything has to be turned into some vulgar joke nowadays. As I say, I see a few on Twitter now. They can't go 5 minutes without making some vulgar pun. They'd say, there's a vulgar pun over there, not to be confused with a nulgar nun. Ha ho ho ho. And then you look up nulgar in the Urban Dictionary and it'll say something like, it's a type of a cunt of some sort, a bit like one of those birds who supposedly brings birds home to their young, except they're not. I get the idea anyway. I'm getting confused in my own thoughts here. Anyway, no. And the bird says, fair enough, I suppose. I wouldn't expect you to breach the terms of your license. I'm a law-abiding citizen myself, you know. And the man says, there's no laws applying to birds. Of course you're law-abiding. There's no laws that you have to abide by. So technically you've never breached a law in your life because it's not possible for a bird to breach a law. So don't be giving me that crap even though it's technically true. I can't be going around saying you're great because you've never broken the law just because there are no laws to apply to you. Would you go away out with that crap? That's like saying Saddam Hussein didn't break any laws when he dropped litter because there was a law saying that it wasn't illegal for Saddam Hussein to drop litter. I'd say, might as well say that. Not that it's very important whether or not in the long-term scheme of things, I suppose it could be argued that whether or not Saddam Hussein dropped litter was not important. But whether or not he lived by that principle of making laws that applied specifically to him, that's important, I suppose. I'm not claiming that the litter thing itself is important, don't get me wrong. Obviously, it's just it's just an example. It's an example, a bit like when you say, hello, like if you're in a maths class, you wouldn't be because you're a bird, you wouldn't be in a maths class. But if I was in a maths class and I was the teacher and I said, now children, 2 + 3 = 5, and the children would say, I don't understand that, can you give me an example of this concept? And you say, yes, I can. If you had 2 penguins and 3 cats and you put them together, then you'd have 5 creatures. And the children would say, how many cats would you have then? You'd have the same number. And how many birds would you have then? Oh, you'd have the same number. You just have them all together in a group. So you'd have 5 creatures in total. And the kids would say, then you haven't changed the number of birds or the number of cats. So adding things together appears to make no difference whatsoever. Is that what you're telling us? And that's why it takes a bit of guts and a bit of spine and a bit of intelligence to be a teacher these days. You can't just go along and make crap up about cats and birds and expect them to just take it. No, they ask questions.
The Overnightscape number 682, February 8th, 08, 32/36.
It was a TV show called EntertainmentStudios.com, okay? And it was hosted by this guy, Byron Allen. Okay. And Byron Allen was one of the stars of the show Real People, which, growing up, Real People and That's Incredible were the two biggest shows back in like the real early 80s. And whatever happened to this guy, Byron Allen, he created this show. I haven't gotten to this website yet. I'm so curious. What the hell is EntertainmentStudios.com by Byron Allen? This is strange. I'm really pissed off that even to today, I want to get a full set of real people in That's Incredible TV shows, and it's nowhere. There's no official release. There's no pirate release. There's nothing. Whoa, what's this? Here it is. EntertainmentStudios.com, the global entertainment network.
Man I work for had one of the biggest companies in New York City.
What is this?
He didn't own his own company. White man owned it, so they owned him. Nobody owns me, though.
I don't know what this is.
Most important thing in business is honesty.
What is it? It's by Byron Allen. Where is Comics Unleashed with Byron Allen? What?
Clinton Jackson.
I don't know, but it's funny though. Let me just look up Real People because I want to just sort of confirm that this is all real. Real People was a show that was sort of a magazine style show. It was just about different weird people. Let's see, and it had this group of sort of comedians who were the hosts. Yeah. The regular hosts included John Barber, Sarah Purcell, Byron Allen, Skip Stevenson, Bill Rafferty, Mark Russell, Peter Billingsley, and Fred Willard. It ran from 79 to 84. I want to see this show again. I don't get it. I need this show. Someone out there in the really deep levels of piracy has got to have this. I wouldn't even call it piracy. It's at that level, it's preservation, right? And I always associated that with That's Incredible, sort of another magazine-style show of different things. These shows were enormous back in the day. I'm sure if you're a younger person, you don't have any idea what the hell I'm talking about because this information was not really preserved very well, except in people's memories. Memories. God. Talking about memories, certain websites, like, just kick my ass, like... There, I guess Lego Blocks just had their anniversary, 50th anniversary or something. There's these websites that have pictures of every Lego block thing ever. It's like guide.lugnet.com, right? Lego set database. And like, if you start looking at, like, I started looking at all of the different Lego block things, especially from the 70s.
The Overnightscape 1848, White Plains Drifter 2, October 5th, 21, 1670ths.
That's a good one, Mac. Yeah, I had to throw that in there. People, guys don't call each other Mac anymore, but that was great at some point. Hey, Mac. You said that today. If someone was real old like me, they'd kind of understand what you're saying because of the Bugs Bunny cartoons and stuff, but... Younger people were like, Mac. Like, no, I'm not. I'm a PC. I'm not a Mac. You know? Get out of here. All right, we're making progress here. Yeah, I looked at that Kusama Cosmic Nature. Yeah, that's that very famous artist from Japan. You know, she has that weird, like, pink-red hairdo or something. And that definitely is the best piece I've seen. I really am not a huge fan of her work. Remember when I went to that, the place where they made the balloons for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? I think they had, I believe it was a new balloon made by her, Kusama, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway. Yeah, I like these train stations. They have this architectural feature, which is like, imagine if you took a brown brick and you sort of broke it in half roughly. And those rough parts are what's sort of facing outwards, sort of a brutalist feel to the actual train stations. And again, I don't know what you would call that, but it's definitely a cool look. I'm sure they don't break bricks in half. It's probably just sort of like sandblast half the brick in some sort of a protective sheath so only the top part gets blasted out. You see what I'm saying? Did you see that some places as well? I guess it discourages people from leaning against the wall because it's very rough. You might chafe your skin if you lean up against the wall like that, but it looks kind of cool, kind of brutalist. But anyway, I was looking at this landmass that I'm on right now. So this is essentially, so it's like an isthmus, or it's a piece of land because they're triangular shaped, and it has water on the left and right, and then going north, it's just part of the mainland. But to the west, you have the Hudson River, and then to the east, you have the Long Island Sound, right? That body of water between Long Island and Connecticut, generally. I guess maybe a little Rhode Island thrown in there. Right, where are we now? We're in Scarsdale. Remember Scarsdale, the Scarsdale Diet Doctor? Yeah, there was a guy that got famous, I think. This is my impression, I don't know, for writing a diet book. The latest diet craze back around like 79, maybe. So he was very famous, very successful as a doctor. But then he did something bad, like he killed someone, or someone killed him, or somebody new got killed. I don't really remember, but it was the Scarsdale Diet Doctor scandal. It was all here in Scarsdale. This is probably one of those, suburbs. It's nice to live in Scarsdale, probably an upscale area. Anyway. So this is kind of an isthmus. And then, if you imagine, kind of like the Hudson River keeps going north for a long ways, but then the Long Island Sound kind of curves out till it's going straight east. Right, but this is the part where it kind of curves down, and at the very tip of it is the Bronx and Manhattan and all that jazz.
Overnightscape Central Futurism, January 6th, 14, 22/24.
I think cerebrally have to figure out a way of traveling without using physical bodies if we're going to be going. And the other thing is, I don't know exactly what we expect to find. As people have learned in traveling around the world and going to different places, the human nature and humanity and our propensities continue. If we go land on some inhabited planet and there is a species or whatever that is lesser than us, we are going to exploit it and dominate it and take its lands and resources. And if it turns out to be more advanced than us, we just better watch out. Because I would not necessarily trust in the benevolence of advanced races. I don't know. You have to think what human beings would look like to an advanced race, and it's not a pretty picture. We got a lot of evolving to do. If, our picture, this is the whole thing. We have this whole idea of what is good and what is bad and what is beneficial. Maybe using a planet up and learning how to move to another one is how any successful species succeeds. Maybe this is who could know. We have such a limited knowledge in this tiny... We've got these little, 2-pound brains in these little bodies, isolated away. We've got our tools of perception. That's the next thing we've got to improve. If we are going to understand the universe, we have got to somehow figure out a way in the future of enhancing our senses. Our senses of sight are, if you're talking about experiencing the universe and understanding things on a cosmic scale, the best 20/20 vision in the world is really not going to cut it. I don't know what kind of vision we would need, a telescopic vision, microscopic vision, fifth dimensional vision, but we are going to have to develop other ways of seeing. Our ears are ridiculously weak, we really are going to have either new senses, or the senses we have are going to need some serious evolution and or enhancement. But we could do it. I really, even in the short term, I think at a worst case scenario, with all this wackiness and wars and Monsantos, and we may wind up with another plague-like dying off, which, if certain scientists are correct with our population growth and all that, nature's going to kick out something if we don't do it.
The Overnightscape 2147 Sirius Groovy Communication, August 27th, 24, 39 54ths.
Chuck Barris wrote this? Wow. It's amazing. I didn't know this at all. See, I'm complaining about people not knowing about songs, and here's a song I don't know about. Good song. Wait, I want to hear the Ramones version. Hold on a second. This definitely sounds like a song they would cover. They love that kind of music. The Ramones. Of course, named after Paul McCartney of the Beatles. Fake name when he checked into hotels, Paul Ramone. Oh, wow, here it is. Palisades Park. Okay. From their Brain Drain album. Well, yes. I gotta check out that Palisades Park if I ever get access to a time machine or something. I mean, it's so ponderous not having access to time travel, really. They gotta invent it at some point. Come on. Does it relate to the information blackout, the info blackout in this world we're living in? Right? We're not allowed to know about the other worlds. And maybe we're not allowed to access to time travel technology. I know, it's all part of the plan. To live a life as a human in a particular way. If we had time travel, if we had access to the other worlds, it'd be a very different world to live in, obviously, right? I want to see about this Chuck Barris thing. Chuck Barris. And then, yeah, they made that movie about him where he thought he was an FBI agent or a CIA agent or something. let's see. Chuck Barris. There's this article here. It may be impossible to remove the now dearly departed Chuck Barris from kitchen camp, but these were the very things that brought him into being. I lost my place here, sorry. But let's take a moment here to respect Barris's initial spark, for it was a perfect express of our local kitsch, our local camp, because before there was the Gong Show, and before all the wild, apocryphal, who knows, CIA stuff, there was Palisades Park, a song that name checks a now-defunct amusement park off the cliffs of the Hudson, but really, honestly, truly, can only be about the southern end of the Jersey Shore, Philly's Shore. What? And if we were really going to put the money on the...
Overnightscape Central, Puzzling Evidence, January 26th, 21, 13 40ths.
No idea. It's a misfortune. Reality. I am confident that you gentlemen will review without passion the evidence that you have heard, come to a decision.
Now, the reason this is such an interesting time is not only because we're on the threshold of the end of this civilization, because it's about to be recycled, but because of where that finds us, where that finds you, where that finds those who would judge us, how we would speak of them and how they would speak of us. Now you say, you keep saying us. Who do you think you are?
In the name of God,
I believe. In all honesty, must acknowledge my father. My father is not a human father. My father is a member of the evolutionary level above human, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. My father gave me, long before this sake. For those who do believe it, stand a possibility of a future beyond this recycling time. Now you say, well, according to religious literature, I thought there was someone else that was going to come and be our savior here at these end days, that was going to be Christ's return. Well, the name Christ might be a little confusing, or the name Jesus, because the name Jesus, of course, was the name given to the body that mind that was indeed from the kingdom of heaven came, and that mind was here 2,000 years ago, and that mind came for the express purpose of teaching humans how they could be saved, how they would not be plowed under at the end of the age. Well, we're at the end of the age. So the one or the mind that was in Jesus, what? That mind is in me?
Curve.
We made a tape just shortly ago.
I must admit.
And in that tape, we said that there are three types of individuals that will survive.
That I said then, trying to say it in today's language, trying to hope that for your sakes you can see what we have to offer you. For our Father offers you life. I'm not talking about human life. The planet is about to be recycled, and we see the planet as a stepping stone.
Manny the Mailman / PQ River TV 1972, March 26, 11:02/17.
Oh man! Well, yep. Anna and the King was on CBS, and of course, the wonderful world of Disney. How can you go wrong?
Yeah, I think that was mostly what we watched. Cause I think what about Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom? That wasn't on before that.
It was, but I guess it wasn't on the network schedule. We got that locally, some sort of syndicated thing at that point.
Because I know that was usually the lead into...
Right, and Lassie was on CBS, I think, at the same time before Anna and the King at 7, I guess.
So I guess they weren't considered network.
Yeah, that's what my guess is. But yeah, I remember Lassie being forced to watch the show with the dog and being very unhappy about it. And let's see, what's 8 o'clock? 8 o'clock, the FBI.
Efren Zemblis Jr.
Yeah. I only watched that once in a while. I think we were using anything.
I think they started showing those in reruns. I think I saw them more there, but yeah, because I don't think, you know, that wasn't up my alley at that point.
Gotcha. And on CBS, MASH.
Ooh. It was on Sunday. Wow.
At that point, I guess this is what probably second season would be my guess.
Because that was a big Monday show. Most of their years, I remember right. them in Monday night.
I watched it religiously right to the end, and then that last show just ruined it for me, and I could never watch it again.
Oh, yeah, with Hawkeye going crazy. Yeah, that was... But I remember in the... So that year there must have still been with Wayne Rogers.
Yeah, Trapper.
Wayne Stevenson and all of those guys. That was before some of those guys left. So yeah, that was the early years.
Right. It did. I think that's that. I didn't watch it back then. I don't think when it was Sunday. Yeah, it was all that Disney. I was forced. I was force fed Disney. Help me. Oh, remember Sandy Duncan at 8:30 on CBS?
Oh yeah.
I remember she had one eye.
That's what I was just going to say. She had one eye. That was the thing I remember.
Yeah, I think that was her most notable, although she was also kind of cute. And that was the beginning of the era where TV actresses stopped wearing brassieres for about 4 or 5 years there.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's her name? The girl from Mary Tyler Moore, Rhoda, and all of those other ones, and Cloris Leachman. Yeah, everybody was hanging loose.
Yeah, even Maude. Like the mid 70s.
Trampler 12, November 2011, 01/18.
Okay, welcome to Trampler 12. Now, I'm saying 12, but this could actually be Trampler 7, or the start of Trampler 7, or the end of Trampler 6. I'm not really sure which one. Because I've been sort of Gmail chat back and forth with Frank, and I'm saying, like, there's a bunch of stuff there from the iTalk in the Dropbox, and if he wants me, I can probably, you know, put it together myself and put it up. And he said, no, I'll do it, it's fine. I just don't want to be giving him extra work. And so I said, yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff there. But seeing as they're all in, like, half an hour things, there's no edit facility on this iTalk, so I said, well, you know, if you want to bunch them all together and just call it one Trampler, you know, that's why not? You know, that's fine. So even though I've been saying that all the way through this, as you probably notice, if it is all one, I've been saying Trampler 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and this one 12. It may be just all the one. So apologies for that confusion if it did happen. And if it didn't, well, whatever. So let's have some water there. I have to go down and walk my mother's dog now because she's bringing my stepfather to the hospital. I'm not sure whether it's his knee or his back. Both of them are in trouble at the moment. So I have to go down and do that. So why don't you come along with me for the journey, and I'll talk you some about some stuff. I have the bins out today. Let me see. I have my wallet and my keys. What else do I need? I have my phone because I'm talking into it. Just locking the door here. And I'm going to get into my car. I have these big headphones on that I bought the other day. And I don't know if you're allowed to drive your car with big headphones. You know, you probably have the little headphones, the talkback thing. I'll just put you in the hole here. And but big headphones, I'm not sure. Like, what if you're deaf? Are you still allowed to drive the car? Maybe, like, if the guardie saw me, they'd say, what are you doing with big headphones on? You know, they wouldn't be hard to miss. But I'm going to leave them on anyway, just for kicks. I can't even hear myself talk. I thought I'd be able to hear myself talk. But no, you know what? Actually, I won't. I'm going to take them out because it is obstructing the steering wheel. So there we go. I'll just put that in the pocket. I'll put them down by the thing. There we go. They're just down around my neck now. Okay, here we go. Reversing out of my driveway. So yeah, I was just been to the bank yesterday, and I've had a little bit of trouble writing my book. I've got a good few thousand words done. But I'm sort of painting myself into a corner. I'm like, I don't know whether I'm doing it the right way or not, but I just, basically, I just have to keep writing, and, you know, I'll get to all them editing stages and bibliography stages later on.
The Overnightscape 2200 Falderalder Rempler, February 28th, 25, 48 74ths.
We're doing the do, there you go. Oh, this is sort of another song where the artist names themselves in the song. Like I was talking about on last episode, Betty Boo doing the do. So this is the song where she identifies herself in the song.
It's a good song. I do like this song. Obviously, this it's going to be a while before this one becomes public domain, as this is 1990, yeah. Just want to get to the chorus part. Sounds very 1990, right? I love this kind of rapping. I'm trying to get to the chorus part here. I'm going to see if I can find that. I doubt I can find the interview where she's sort of trashing Betty Boop. Because, I mean, back then it was like Betty Boop was a 1990 was a lot more recent of a character. You know what I mean?
What exciting benefits do you get as a
come on with these stupid commercials.
You get to skip the line and go right to the
Zelensky leaves White House after argument with Trump. I got it. I can't take it.
I enjoy making videos. When I write my songs, I usually have a visual idea in mind. So it's quite sort of easy in a way. The name Betty Boo came from when I was at school. I used to have a really short hairstyle with curly bits around the side. So I looked a bit like Betty Boo from the cartoon character. I don't think Alison Clarkson's got the same name. It's quite boring, actually. Yeah, I enjoy shopping. I'm sort of shopaholic.
That may not be the interview, but whatever. At least she gave credit to Betty Boop as for her name. She's a shopaholic, though. I don't know. I think as a one-hit wonder, you probably should save your money a little better, you know.
Guy without the United States, and your people are very brave.
Oh, God. More of these. As he said, it's going to make great... I feel embarrassed for everyone involved with this. Insanity within the white in the Oval Office. I'm telling you, really. Please. Oh my God. All right, here's a news report of Zelensky leaving the White House now.
A thumbs up from Volodymyr Zelensky, but we are waiting to see if he departs in that vehicle that you see parked outside of the White House.
I don't know if he's going
to
be invited back after this.
To say the least. The most contentious confrontation between world leaders perhaps we have ever seen, certainly on television,
in
the Oval Office. And the President of the United States refusing to answer the question, which is...
Schlock Express B Movie Britain, September 17th, 15, 06/14.
Twisted lip. But there you go. They also produced the Edgar Wallace series, which is probably still the best known of Merton films, Merton Park Studios Productions. And Merton Park, incidentally, was owned by Anglo Amalgamated, who made a lot of these films, but also leased out studio space to independent producers and tin pot companies like Fratelco and Planet and the like. So there's the Edgar Wallace series. There's another series called The Scales of Justice, the produce, which I have on DVD, incidentally. And, yeah. But they also, as I say, turned out features, leased space there, for independent producers to produce features. Perhaps the best known of Merton Park filmed schlock movie, apart from The Projected Man, is the notorious Conga from 1960, a Cheap Jack King Kong ripoff, in which mad scientist Michael Goff, and they didn't come any madder than Michael Goff, trust me, uses his serum to cause a chimpanzee to turn into a gigantic man in a bad gorilla suit who goes on a small-scale rampage around South London. And interestingly, the street that Conga menaces and looms over these houses and shops is in fact the street next door to where Merton Studios were at the time. And it's still standing, you can still see it. But... there you go. As I said, The Rejected Man, it still deserves better than to be simply dismissed as a fly knockoff. So if nothing else, for its fascinating pedigree and all the kinds of people who are involved in it. But on to the next bit of schlock.
Suddenly, a man dies at the controls of a train. Suddenly, a car swerves to destruction. Suddenly, a plane dives to death. The Earth dies screaming. Suddenly, death descends on the four corners of the Earth, and only a handful of human beings survive to live in fear, powerless to combat an unknown terror.
Turn it off.
Who are you?
That away, I'm not the enemy.
I don't know who the enemy is.
The Earth dies screaming, and the robots take over. Starring Willard Parker, Virginia Field, Dennis Price,
you said that she was dead.
The Lum and Abner Showcase, I'm Gonna Speech Over at Crystal Hill Tonight, August 1st, 16:03/13.
Morning, one meter said in the window down there.
Yeah, I've seen some of them. Seen one down at the barbershop this morning.
Yeah, there's one down there.
That picture you got on there of yourself ought to be good for ridding your store of rats or cockroaches if he's bothered with such a day.
Did you see that write-up that he had in the county paper this morning?
Write-up? No. What'd they say about him?
Why, according to the paper, he made a big contribution to the public library in there at the county seat.
You mean a donate?
Yeah, he gave him $180.
Oh, get out. He ain't got that much money.
Well, don't know where he got it, but evidently he gave it to him, or they wouldn't have had a write-up like that in the paper. Oh, big headlines in there. Prominent Pine Ridge citizen made the liberal donation to local public library or something like that, said. And went on to say that he'd like for everybody to send in for a flashlight and vote for him for president of the John and Down store.
Well, for goodness sakes, $180.
That's what it said.
Where did he get that much money? Man, if he could have bought me out of the race for that much money, I'd have took clean out and let him have the office.
Yeah, and I don't see how that's going to help him get many votes.
Well, wait a minute, Dick. That's our ring. Excuse me.
Oh, sure. Go ahead and answer it. Sure.
Hello? This is Lum Edwards talking. Yes, Mom, he's here. Do you want to talk to him? Oh. Yes, Mom. Yes, Mom, I sure will, Miss Huddleston. All right. All right, goodbye. Your woman says Elmer Lutko's over there at your store waiting to see you, Dave.
By jacks, I forgot about that, sure. Yeah, well, I'll have to get on over there, Lum. I'm trying to sell Elmer that 80 acres down there on the river that I swapped for last spring.
Well, I'm glad you come over, Dick, and don't you worry about us selling stuff at cost. I can tell you right now, there ain't nothing to that.
Oh, yeah, well, that's all right, Lum. I figured there must have been some mistake about it. Hey, here comes Abner, Lum.
Abner?
Yeah.
Granny's about time he's getting back.
Hi, Dick.
Well, hello, Abner.
Leaving?
Yeah, I got to get on back over the store, Abner. They're just not called up for me.
And be sure and tell everybody you see they'll vote for me for president.
All right, Abner.
Hey, howdy, Lum. Did you hear about me jumping off in the schoolhouse?
Yeah, I heard about it. Too bad they had that net down there to catch you.
Yeah, I'm sorry for I've been gone so long. I've been busy figuring myself out a speech for tonight.
A speech?
You know I'm going to speech over at Crystal Hill tonight.
Yeah. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah?
Body could learn a lot hearing you give a talk about you.
And I'm going to give my views on this here, gold situation.
Gold situation?
Yeah, Mose Moots down at the barbershop said that the paper is full of that now.
Well, you don't know nothing about the gold situation, Abner. Inflating it and de-inflating it and all that stuff.
Why, no. That's the reason that he said that it'd be a good subject for me to speak on. Said that nobody else knowed anything about it neither, Lum, and they won't know where I'm right or wrong.
Yeah.
Then, of course, you know, after I speak for a while, I'm going to sort of bring it in a roundabout way, you know. I'm going to ask them all to vote for me for president of the store. That's the reason I'm going over Squire.
I see. That's Summer Squire.
Overnightscape Central, Nostalgia, June 7th, 16, 3151st.
He looks like someone, though. He looks like he could be Harry Dean Stanton's, like, second cousin. I don't know. We should watch the people going by here. Who are these people? They're the celebrities? I think that is the HBO offices, even though I thought the entrance was around the other way. But maybe that's, like, another entrance to it. I imagine John Lithgow can just walk around New York without being hassled. Unless it's one of those autograph hounds or the people who want to get pictures with celebrities. Greg, you out there? Do you have a Lithgow? I don't know. Obviously the past is not accessible to us. So it's always like something that you can't get to, something that's off limits to a degree, becomes much more exciting, you know. Like when it comes to like collectibles. I was actually just talking about this on the show I recorded today, Overnight Escape, Andrew from England 2, the episode. You know, like when it comes to collectibles and stuff, I used to really be into collecting like Atari cartridges and stuff, you know, the old video games. There's a big nostalgia for that, obviously. But when it became much easier to get these things, I mean, some of them were rare. Most of them weren't that rare. There's a lot of them out there. It doesn't become as exciting. But then the field of candy collecting, candy wrapper collecting, is extremely interesting because here's something that was a big part of our lives. And, of course, there's a lot of nostalgia for candy because it keeps changing. And then it's in the past and you can't get it anymore. That, for example, I'm very interested in obtaining a Dynamince box. I had a lot of these. And I feel nostalgic for Dynamince, which was what was the company? Dentine? No. I forget the name of the company, but it was sort of a rip-off version of Tic Tacs called Dynamince. But it had a very specific flavor, especially like they had these purple ones, I think. They had this really spicy, weird, fruity flavor that was quite... I can still remember the flavor. And it was one of those things where occasionally I would get Dynamince back in the 70s, maybe into the 80s, and then they must have been discontinued, and I didn't notice till years later. I'm like, yeah, whatever happened to Dynamince? And over the years, I've checked eBay and stuff. I mean, there's pictures that have been taken in recent years of people who do own either an empty box of Dynamince, or occasionally a few people have boxes that are completely full of those old Dynamince. Incredibly rare. I mean, it's something that I've never seen come up on eBay at all. And there's a great blog called CollectingCandy.com with a guy. He posts his great finds. Like he's, I'm sure, not just scouting the internet, but it has contacts of people who may have this stuff. And when he obtains these things, it's incredible. I mean, this is stuff that you could go into a five and dime in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, and just pick it up for 5 cents, 10 cents back then. Rip it open, eat the candy, toss it in the trash because it's garbage. Candy wrappers are.
Overnightscape Central, Superheroes, January 22nd, 18, 3445.
Sister-in-law was the lead singer for Rob from the Paunch Stevenson Show was in that band playing guitar, and Frank wrote the lyrics to many, if not all, of the songs, and a big show, and some Frank at the end as well. One more Quake Reversal satellite, Listenette, which kind of pretty much was like the rest of the shows this past week. Some humor, some music, some noises, and I pour on the driveline. Radio Free Shambles, Fog. Yeah, he is on the Westworld kick, and he talks about the Roseanne revival and all of that. I was just listening to that at work today. And they go to a PetSmart obedient class. Hey, It's fun times. And that cover graphic with the digital pizza, it's very striking, I have to say so. And Shambles looks very happy. I like that smile in Shambles there. I don't know why. That's a great shot of him. And he's got another thing here that's brand new. Oh, it's like an audio experimental thing called Timelines, which has just appeared and I haven't heard, but I would recommend it unheard. Let's see. The main timeline splits off into two. One of them continues to run in the correct speed. The other one starts to slow down. When the first timeline ends, the second one increases its speed in hopes of finding out where the first one went. 21 minutes and 51 seconds that... I will be... That sounds like some real walk put on your Walkman and wander down by the river kind of stuff. Oh, thank you, Shambles. Anyhow, that was the week on the Overnightscape Underground, and you could be there. You could be parts of any number of shows or do your the Overnightscape Underground. Your late-night radio trip is... always expanding and contracting, and maybe one of these pulsations will draw you in to the magic. That's what we try to do. In fact, after we hear from Doc Sleaze on superheroes, I am going to try to entice you to participate in next week's Overnightscape under Overnightscape Central. And I will be giving out all those details, so you might want to get something to write or jot or take a note or however we do it in this modern day world. And while you're listening to Doc Sleaze.
Okay, before we get to the actual topic in hand of superheroes, I believe it is this week, I think a little explanation is in order for myself as to why I appear to have vanished from the onsag. Of late. I mean, I made this start at the end of last year by turning out three podcasts in three shows in a couple of weeks, and then I managed to turn out a Schlock Express early this month, and I've just petered out after promising I was going to make more of an effort. But basically, I got overtaken by events. And to cut a long story short,
The Midnight Citizen 130, The Midnight Realm Amusement and Experiential Park. August 1st, 15, 21, 26.
Watch. This is just one movie, about 90 minutes long. It was called Lost Souls. This is about it's on Netflix, Lost Souls. It's about all of the failures and tragedies behind the making of the 1996 movie The Island of Dr. Moreau, starring Marlon Brando and Val Kilmer. And this is another one of those great... kind of failed production movies, you know, like there's a lot of documentaries out there that kind of deal with failed or like troubled productions of movies, like all the, you know, just the arrogance of the cast or the overactive imaginations of like the writer or director who have like all these grand plans for things they want to do, and then everything just like gets screwed up and all that. And it's just binge-worthy and, you know, or cringe-worthy, not binge-worthy like the Jinx. It's cringe-worthy to just see all the high hopes they have going into making this movie and just how everything is ruined along the way, whether it be the cast or the maintenance people, you know, the crew or the you know, all the money people coming in and telling them, like, we can't give you money for this, you know. Yeah, it was a very troubled production. I mean, you know, of course, Marlon Brando, I mean, even though he has, like, this reputation as being one of the greatest actors ever, he always just seems, on all accounts, like, kind of an asshole, you know? Just this guy who's very arrogant, he's very contemptuous, he fights constantly with anybody who tries to give him direction. I mean, everything I've heard about this guy... you know, seems to just be very negative. And, I mean, you know, he's good. I mean, I really like that movie On the Waterfront. You know, he's good in that, and he's good in The Godfather. But, you know, he has, like, a scene at the end of Apocalypse Now. But, I mean, other than that, I don't know what this legendary reputation is in service of, you know. He just seems to be kind of like a jerk. But... you know, who just, you know, in the movie, you know, he comes across this guy who just like fought with this. I mean, the director who took a hold of the island of Dr. Moreau, this is a guy who he came off of directing like two small independent horror movies. His name is Richard Stanley. And for his next movie, he wanted to do The Island of Dr. Moreau. He spent 4 years in post-production trying to get this movie made, taking it to every studio. He was in love with this book. I mean, he even showed, like, you know, the original copy of the H.G. Wells book he had had since he was a kid, and it was all dog-eared and eaten up, you know? Barely still, you know, bound up, you know, with the cheap glue. And he had all of this, like, just 4 years of work poured into this movie, and here comes Marlon Brando with his arrogance and his just general snobbery of anybody trying to tell him what to do, and he just kind of ends up screwing up most of the movie for him, you know, just making it impossible.
The Overnightscape 1256, Are We Ourselves? February 2nd, 16, 1333.
It's from the original stage play, and it was just pretty weak. The story was somewhat interesting about these two gangs, like a guy gang and a girl gang, and the story seems to come up very, like they all sort of get together as couples in the end. It's kind of, I don't know, but there's something about the energy of it. I think it's worth checking out. And then Vanessa Hudgens, her father apparently died that same day of cancer, but the show must go on, so she did it. And she actually was probably the best in the whole show. She played Rizzo. Like I said, I think it's like the source material is very dated and very flawed, but it was interesting that there's such an elaborate, and just all these hundreds of people coming together dressing up in 1950s gear. Now, to me, the 1950s is a world I never was part of. I was born in 67. But imagine all these kids born in like in the year 2000 or later. To them, the 1950s is an even further removed universe. God only knows. I mean, I'm sure it's, and it's through the lens of a parody. You know, the 1950s always were viewed as, on the surface, everyone was very straight-laced and moral and all this other stuff. But underneath, of course, it was the cesspool as usual. And so in the 70s, they were sort of making fun of that. And there's so much fiction that makes fun of that. Blue Velvet by David Lynch, you know. This great small town where everyone is very normal, but underneath it's just a bunch of murder and sex and terrible things. Well, Twin Peaks was that way too, right? I don't know that we have that type of society anymore where, oh, everyone is so perfect on the surface, but underneath it's a cesspool of sin and destruction, you know? Like, these days, on the surface, it seems like a cesspool of sin and destruction, so, you know what I mean? Like, so that type of humor that's making fun of, like, this perfect facade doesn't really resonate as much anymore. But I would recommend it. It's a fun, interesting piece. Not for the music, necessarily, but the whole thing as a whole, and just the thought that they did this, the thought that they were creating a live television event in 2016. It's very, very interesting. So, my coworkers just walked by. I don't think they noticed me. I don't want them to. I don't want to cross the streams of work and the Overnightscape. They're not meant. They're not compatible, basically. They're not compatible in any way, shape, or form. They're not compatible. Come on. Not compatible at all. What's that song? You lead a double life. No one would know. So check it out. Here I go. Are we ourselves? Look, another one of those cameras, a Steadicam, right here on 43rd Street. They're filming. I think they're filming something called Divorce today, and then tomorrow they're going to film something else. There's all these different things they're filming on 43rd Street. I think Money Monster and then Divorce. They're filming here. Yeah, that's a song by The Fix called "Are We Ourselves?" Am I myself? That's a good question. I don't know. Well, I'll try to ponder that as I go back to work.
Across the Pond, Episode 16, September 11th, 2010, September 11th, 10, 2/7.
For too long either. So, you know, it's... I don't know. It's a weird situation. And it's kind of overshadowing a little bit the actual memorial days as it is for 9/11. I mean, you know, the internet is covered in it at the minute. It's everywhere. Google Trends at the minute, it's like, you know, I think it's just about the top 12 or 13, you know, is to do with 9/11, the memorials and stuff like that. I watched a documentary last week, actually, on it. It was on last Saturday. I don't know why it was on last Saturday. You'd think they would put it on tonight, but there's quite a few things going on over here. Because over here, you sort of, you know, it's weird because, you know, a lot of British people did die over there as well, who were working in the World Trade Centers as well. There were British citizens as well, and British companies involved as well. And it's, you know, it's something that is sort of remembered, you know, over here as well. I mean, it's a massive thing leading up to it. I mean, it should be remembered everywhere, because for me that was a defining moment. It changed the world forever, that sort of moment. And it's, I don't think anybody would ever forget what they were doing, where they were when it happened. And it's you know, rightly so, because it left you sort of wondering why and what the hell was going on when it was actually happening. I remember over here when it happened, sort of, you know, it was around obviously lunchtime here. It was about, I don't know if it was 12:30, 1 o'clock, something like that, you know. We're 5 hours ahead of you. And I was at home. I used to work nights then, so I was at home with my girlfriend, and we were just sitting down to have something to eat at lunchtime, and you know, we put the news on, and you know, I remember seeing this burning building on the news, and you know, we've got the 24-hour news channel, Sky News, stuff like that, and I just seen this building, and then, you know, that was the first, that obviously was the first tower that was hit, and this was being broadcast live at the time. And I seen, like, in the distance, a plane coming in. You'll have seen the footage of it just sweeping round. And I just remember, like, saying to my girlfriend, I just said, where's that plane going? Where's that plane going? And then it flew into the tower, and it was just, I mean, it was just unbelievable. You just could not grasp what was going on at all. And you know, it was, we sat there just about all afternoon watching the news before I had to go to work. People at work who were there during the day and they didn't have access to TV and stuff, they didn't actually know what was going on. And I told a few of them, and they went and had a look on TV at it and stuff. But you know, it was horrendous.
The Midnight Citizen 211 Undercover, May 13th, 17:07-12.
It's not like that anymore, thank God. You know, now I can just, I'm married and I've got all that stuff behind me. I can just relax and, you know, enjoy a visit with my grandparents without worrying about that kind of thing. I don't know if anybody else thinks about this, you know, but it's one of those things that I am in life, I'm grateful for that life is behind me, you know. So him. Yeah, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy yesterday. I you know, dropped everything and I went to the movies with my dad. My dad really wanted to see a movie. And that's kind of our thing, is you know, whenever I want to hang out with my dad, we usually try and go see a movie. And my dad and I definitely do not see eye to eye on movies. You know, he wants to see the that movie with Michael Caine and Morgan Freeman, you know, where they knock over a bank. and my dad thinks that I'm a snob whenever I just kind of put movies like that down. He just rolls his eyes and he's like, you know, whatever, son. You know, go back to watching your French movies or whatever. And then I just tried to explain to my dad, if he's in the perfect mood to hear it,
that, you know, Dad, those movies are just, they're so insincere, and it's just all they're doing is borrowing jokes from movies that have been made before that weren't even that good, and it's like they're made by committee. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, you know, Dad, committee, where a bunch of people in suits get together around tables, and they say, hey, you know what's would be really great is if we got Michael Caine and Morgan Freeman. I think that, you know, they're under contract with us, and, you know, we'll put them in a movie where they're two old farts who are on retirement, and they feel like they have to do something exciting with their lives and rob a bank. And, yeah, that'll be funny. That'll be funny. And oh, man, what if they go into the bank and, you know, they can't write because their eyesight is so bad, so they hand a note to the teller that says, you know, give me all your money, but the teller doesn't read it correctly because it's not written very well, and, you know, oh, my God. It's like... And my dad's just like, okay, I guess we won't see it. And then I feel bad, you know. But there is this one Guardians of the Galaxy movie that my dad and I can agree on. And I don't really want to see it. I didn't really want to see it that much. But my dad really liked the first one. You know, it's, you know, if you're not aware, it's I don't know. It's like a sci-fi. It's one of these comic book movies, you know. A lot of special effects, and I kind of like the premise of it, you know, that it's like this ragtag group of space mercenaries, and they go around the galaxy getting into adventures, and, you know, they have like this feisty raccoon that...
The Rambler number 314, June 10th, 09, 13.11, 06/17.
Yes, there are other ways of getting them too, but whatever. Support the band. I don't know. I love these announcements. They're like, what the hell are they saying? Yeah, there's this great purple flower at the bus stop this morning. Like a... I don't know what it would be, like a hydrangea or something. I don't know what that flower was, but it was so purple. As I commented in here, it was like more purple than purple. Take a picture of it with my tree out here, and it looks just sort of like blue. This camera cannot handle purple. It can't handle the purple. You know what I'm saying? And here's my latest tweet. Staring at the traffic on 495 headed into the tunnel. This world is such a mystery. Where's it from? Where's it come from, Joe Box? Where's it come from, Joe Box? Yeah, I was looking at the traffic and stuff, and it's just one of those moments where I'm like, what the fuck is this world? What are we doing here? What is this? You know what I mean? These cars on these roads, and like, what? Where's this all coming from? Now, basically, you know? If you imagine the totality of everything that exists, right? This is one of those things that exists. That's what really freaks me out. That seems to be irrefutable. If you think of the set of all things that exist, this experience, like I'm standing here in the Port Authority bus terminal, looking out on 8th Avenue out there, a bunch of taxis out there, looking down at these people. Actually, I got to get moving because this is, I've been standing here for 19 minutes in the bus terminal talking. You know, whether this experience I'm having right now, I'm going to walk down these stairs and everything, whether it's a real physical universe, is it a matrix like a video game? Joe Box is from a dream I had where the entire world was just a game made by this company, Joe Box Entertainment. So it could be that. Could be, you know, just a dream. I really could be dreaming right now. And then, right? Or it could be any of other varieties of whatever is generating this experience. We don't know. But it is an experience that I'm having right now. I know that. This experience is part of the total set of reality. This is something that is part of all that is. That is a freaky thought. There's no denying it. There's no denying it because I'm aware of it. It's existent. So therefore, it is a part of all that exists. Now, I know that there's a certain sting to that idea that it's a little hard to wrap your mind around, but... You know? It's not too bad out here. You feel a few drops of moisture out here, but... All right. You're around 42nd Street. But I, you know, I'm always wondering about it. And, you know, if I had... right now, this particular level of reality is... To me, it seems simulation-like in a lot of ways. Game-like.
Quakeversal Satellite Gap, September 25th, 14, 10/18.
His ability to play the guitar, the musicians he chose. Some of it is tricky to approach, either because it is... I mean, he will jump from the most puerile, sub-middle school cretin nonsense to the most advanced, abstract classical music and hit all the stops in between. So some of his stuff is difficult to approach, but he called his overall work... he considered everything he recorded as part of one huge piece he considered his conceptual continuity, and it's great stuff. Yeah, there's some of it I can't, won't, or don't listen to, but there's just so much of it that is great. In fact, perhaps one of my next record reviews that I actually go in detail, I will pick a Frank Zappa album. Try to find a gateway album for those of you who, like, for example, Frank Nora has always said that he has been unable to really approach Frank Zappa and get into him. And maybe it's, you know, some people are just never... going to make that connection, you know, just as there's a lot of music that, I mean, I know it's probably good and fine. I mean, it's just, for example, I mean, is Frank has in the last few months gone on to see Jack White twice, and I recognize the talent and the capacity, and he's actually done a few things that are, you know, interesting, but I just... You know, it's like Dave Matthews, great musicians, he's talented, it all comes together. It's just there is something about it that does not catch my attention. I try, you know, it's like most of the Radiohead albums. I mean, I like a few of their pieces, but most of their stuff, it's just like, I'm not getting it. I know that there's something there because people I respect tell me so. But then again, you know, a lot of classical music, I just can't. And, you know, I can recognize that there is something there going on that is beyond me. But a lot of it, that's as far as I can get. I mean, most Bach stuff. It's like listening to a calculator or something to me. It's just so precise, and it makes some part of my mind start getting overactive or something, and that goes for a lot of Mozart stuff. And I have to listen to them more. The more stripped down things, like Beethoven, late in his life, did some string quartets and quintets that I have heard that are just really mind blowing how these things do these interplays of it's fascinating. But like I say, most classical music, even though I am well aware, opera. Oh.